Dear Blogger Show.
Yay.
Yay.
We're just all up into the high-tech world here in Memphis. We're filling our Memphis beat.
Get down on it.
That's right. And Rick was he was on the news beat, going out, hanging with the bloggerati out there. And where did y'all meet, in Denver or Boulder?
We went to Homemade Liquids and Salads. So that was at Longmont.
Longmont, okay.
You know, that's the Gordon's, or I'm sorry, Oscar Blues.
Yeah.
Facility out there. We've been there.
Is it nice?
Good
place?
Good food.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Nice place?
Yeah, it's very nice. Yeah, we had a great day. The Chad was our hostess with the mostest, and it was kind of a kickoff meeting for the Beer Bloggers Conference, which is going to be in Boulder. November 7th through 9th or something like that. It's that weekend of the November 7th. And we're looking to get about 150 people who are passionate who write about beer and blog about it. We do a audio blog. They do a video blog, etc. People, you know, do their own write-ups. So there's a lot of them out there. And if we can get them here into Boulder, we can have a pretty good time, I think.
And this is the first annual, right? And right. Usually that's one of those hopeful things when you say the first annual.
There'll be a second.
There is really not an annual until the second one.
Right.
But we've got this being put on by a guy, a promoter, I guess you'd call him, who has experience and success doing wine bloggers. And Rick got to talk to him and then got to get drunk with enjoy.
There you
responsibly
go.
Enjoy beverages with fellow beer bloggers. And I guess, you know, somebody's it's like, well, we're beer bloggers, but like you said, we're into the spoken word rather than the written word, right?
Amen.
Yeah.
Our blog is our show post.
You know, absolutely.
So it's a very short blog usually. It's like, hey, go listen to our audio, but it's still a blog.
And sometimes we get creative in there. So usually you, because you're the one that writes it. In case nobody knew, Rick writes the majority of these now. We were kind of alternating for
a while.
That
was a secret.
I don't know, but it's time the world knew about his
cat's out of the bag.
His literary agility.
Get it, the cat's out of the bag.
That's an inside joke.
Well, I'm feeling bad because they're a little sparse at times, but I figure people will get most of the content off the audio, correct?
That's right. And so, okay, so you did that, and that's something that's coming up that we're all looking forward to, and we're going to make a good showing out there. That's where I think I'm on the fence about whether I'm going to come to that or the GABF, because it's too costly for us to take the bus twice in 1 year.
That bus burns a lot of diesel fuel.
Greyhound costs money.
Yeah.
Go Greyhound if you can afford it. But because, you know, we're in Memphis. We don't have aeroplanes.
That's right.
That's only for the big city.
We got buses and biscuits.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And you know what we're talking about in a minute. Mike and I did a special version of What's Bugging Mike. And that's going to come up in a minute about that damn new show, Memphis Beat. Have you seen that, Rick? Memphis Beat?
I have. I'm sort of enjoying it. I mean, it's got Earl from that show about Earl.
Right.
And,
Jason Lee. Yeah.
You know, yeah, it's, you know, I'm kind of looking at the scenery going, oh, I've never been there. And then every once in a while you see a spot that you recognize, you know. So they must have been pretty creative in finding places that nobody's ever been in Memphis.
Well, they filmed it in New Orleans.
What?
Yeah. No shit.
You didn't know. That would explain a lot of it.
And Atlanta, too. Atlanta and New Orleans.
Yeah.
And then they like
some of the buildings are definitely in Memphis, so they did some scenery shots.
They
there.
Did a little
they
bit.
Did. They did
a little bit.
They'll catch a pitch or something.
90% of it is in New Orleans and Atlanta, though.
But you watch when a lot of that stuff's going on, like if they're talking, they're never going to show the people because it's all B-roll. There's just people riding around filming scenery. So anyway, whatever. The pilot's done. It's on. People are watching it. It's a summer show. I got a feeling it ain't going to get picked up. But we'll give it
one season.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see.
Have you seen more than one episode?
I have. I've seen like two, maybe three.
Yeah.
Okay.
Shows you how memorable.
See, even he said he's kind of liking it now. I mean,
Yeah,
we did. We've only seen the first one, and we kind of ripped it. We weren't too keen on it. So,
well, speaking of liking it,
okay.
But we need to look at the other two and make a good educated guess on it.
I don't know. I'm from Memphis. I'd discriminate against it within the first 60 seconds. That's how I roll. So, speaking of liking it, we got odds and ends of beers that we like, and Rick's got. What are you drinking? The Governor.
I've got a scratch and dent from Oscar Blues. As they were trying to get us to leave the brewery, they gave us a couple boxes of scratch and dent cans that didn't quite make it into production. So I'm drinking a Gebna Imperial IPA from Oscar Blues.
Did they do like, you know, on the cartoons where they put the little M&Ms down like a trail, but it was beer cans?
Yeah.
And that's how they got y'all all to go out?
No, they said, follow me outside and I'll give you this box of goodies.
Okay, that was a good
You don't get it till you go
like,
outside.
Here, look. And they were like shaking it. Look, beer. Right. And like the Pied Piper of beer.
But it was really cool because Dale was hanging out. You know, it was a Saturday afternoon late. And yeah. Dale, the owner and proprietor from Alabama,
yeah.
was hanging out. And, you know, he came up and talked to us and very interested in the guys who are down from Colorado Springs and mountain biking and stuff. He's a real fitness buff. So, yeah. You know, he looks very muscular. But he was a good old boy from the South.
Yeah.
And I had a good time talking to him.
He is he of Dale's pale ale, right?
Well, yeah.
I didn't realize he was from Alabama.
Oh, yeah. You know it once you go to the restaurant. You got, what the
yeah,
hell?
Yeah, they got shrimp and grits, you know, and they were giving us mud bugs for our lunch. And we had some ghost pepper hot wings.
I bet those were nice.
I was able to nibble on them, but man, those were atrocious.
Were they
And
hot?
They also have a competition there. If you can eat a pound of the ghost pepper hot wings, then they give you a special shirt and stuff. This one skinny guy, he was there making an effort at it. You know, it was a big deal, the big crowd gathering around him. He was getting shakes. I've never seen a guy quite just shaking his whole body like that when he's trying to eat these things.
That's funny.
You know, that's the most obnoxious SCOBO unit chili in the world, right?
Yeah, it's like super high. Yeah. Now, a pound, though, a pound of wings isn't that much, but it's the heat.
No, but
it's the heat, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's the ghost pepper that got him. He was actually, you could watch his hand, and I was surprised he didn't even get the food to his face. You know, he was shaking so bad.
They got the ambulance
so
on speed
dial. So
I
don't know what the toxic reaction with these peppers are in the human body, but that can't be good for you.
Well, I
know you'd think.
No, I mean, it's like your senses are going to shut you
Overload,
down because
man.
you're trying to hurt yourself, and the body don't like that. Well, so how's your Gubna?
No, the Governor's sweet. It's smooth. It's caramely, but it's well balanced. Got a nice, let's say, half inch white creamy head. It's a little cloudy, a little bit of chill haze going on. Quite hoppy.
Yeah,
it's what you expect. It's a good beer from a can.
What's the alcohol on that? It's kind of up there, right?
That's got to be listed. Yeah, 10.0.
There you go.
Whoa.
Well, we're going a little light.
Yeah, we're going a little light.
And what are we drinking, Mike?
We're drinking a Beta Harvest Wit, and it's in their line of their seasonal beers. And this one they use the Satsuma oranges that are grown down in that area. And I think it's like a kind of like that strawberry beer. They brew it once and then they're done.
Yeah. I don't know if that has the alcohol on it, but we know it's low.
Yeah, it's 5.5% or 5%.
Yeah.
So not
bad.
So
it's very, very low, easy to drink, perfect on a hot summer day, and got a nice orange smell. And I don't think it – we didn't give it time to build a head.
Well, I poured one in the beginning. It pours a white head. It's a cloudy wit, Belgian style.
Yeah.
It's got the spice going on in it. It's good. I think it's a great beer, summertime beer.
It is. It's very, very
goes
refreshing.
Good with the Memphis biscuits.
That's right. Eat them biscuits. At least that's what Memphis Beat alleges we all do. So anyway, we keep going around talking about that. Let's go ahead and get that out of the way and listen to a little segment about what's bugging Mike and others.
Long distance information, give me Memphis, Tennessee. Help me find the party, try to get in touch with me. She could not leave a number, but I know who placed a call. Marco took the message and he wrote it on the wall.
Now, you may or may not have noticed, but there's a new show on TNT called, ready? Memphis Beat. And it stars the ever popular, lovable, my name is Earl guy.
Yeah, what's his name?
Jason Lee.
That's what
and,
I thought.
And I got to tell you, I'm a Jason Lee fan before anybody knew who the hell this guy was. He's been in a number of Kevin Smith movies. And he was in Dogma.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. And you may not realize this. Before he got into acting, he was a competitive skateboarder.
Really?
Yeah. He's an interesting guy.
Him and Tony Hawk go way back.
Huh? Yeah, I don't know about that. But he was supposedly was pretty good. So anyway, I got an appreciation for the guy. But this is just a fucked up choice. I mean, Memphis Beat, you keep seeing, okay, Earl, where's, you know... Crabman and Randy and the others. It just he's typecast himself because he was so good at it, right?
Yeah. Okay, he did it for so long, and that's all anybody knows him for. So
what I'm doing is I'm hijacking the segment we always do with you about what's pissing Mike off or what's bugging Mike. Okay, so this is what's bugging me. That damn Memphis Beat. I have only watched one show because I couldn't stand it. Now, they've got Jason Lee. Like I said, I like that guy. It's got Alfre Woodard, who is an excellent actress, can play any type of character.
That's the police captain?
Yeah, captain, lieutenant.
Yeah.
And she's pissing me off. And then they've got that creepy-looking DJ Qualls, and creepy-looking is a compliment. Because
the other detective?
He's the bumbling sergeant or... private or whatever the hell I don't know what he is, but you know, he's like being DJ Qualls, a goofy guy, right? That's how he makes his living. And then they got the guy who was the desk guy on ER. His character's name was Jerry back on ER.
Oh yeah,
you know who I'm talking about.
He kind of looks like Randy.
He does.
Yeah,
I never thought of that. Okay, but he's playing like some kind of Indian or some shit with this big long. I'm thinking, what Indian do we got here? I know over at Chuck Alyssa, now the rest of the world probably doesn't know this, but we have an Indian village.
Yeah.
Now, they died off hundreds of years ago.
Well, you know, you got DeSoto, Hernando DeSoto, and those were your Indians.
And the Chickasaw Bluffs, Chickasaw Indians, right? Mm-hmm. But they were like farmers. But anyway, I'm looking at this guy thinking, is he supposed to be one of our Indians or what? Because we just don't have Indians running around.
Right.
Okay. And then they got the assorted other people. But here's the common denominator. And this is what pisses me off. They talk funny.
They really do. They don't talk like Memphians at all.
Uh-uh. You're hearing the real deal.
Yeah.
This is Memphis, Jackson, Tennessee. It's also this just in. Text message live naked podcasting, but you hear how we sound. Yes, we have accent. Yes, we say certain words certain ways. We might mispronounce things. We roll our R's a little bit. Mm-hmm. We add extra syllables where none are really needed.
Yeah,
but and that's how we do it.
We say ain't a lot.
Ain't and fixin' to, yep, and all of that. But the thing is, they don't do any of that. Uh-huh. They do this fake-ass Southern accent. And the thing is, it got to me.
And they talk about oyster poor boys. And all that,
You've seen more. Okay, you know why? It's filmed in New Orleans. And that was the first time they said...
Well, I heard they were doing some in Atlanta, too, I think.
They're doing it everywhere but here. They came here and shot some B-roll, background bullshit. Mm-hmm. And the irony is, they use our street names.
Yeah.
They say... well, there's something over in Overton Park. Yeah. We got to go over there. Except they don't say it like that. They go, there's something over in Overton Park. And I'm thinking, Shazam.
And what was the captain there when they're doing the movie intro or whatever? She says something about our cops don't sit around eating donuts or something like that.
Okay, so what we're going to do is, and what Mike's talking about is we've got a clip that if you go to TNT and look on Drama Vision, you know, they got all these little extras, video extras. So this is one where they describe why it's called Memphis Beat and why they just love them some Memphis so much. And let's give it a listen.
You can't have a show called Memphis Beat unless you got some Memphis in there, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no shit, Jason. That's why it's called Memphis Beat. If it was called Atlanta Beat or New Orleans Beat, you'd have a little bit of Atlanta or New Orleans in there because that's where you're filming.
And speaking of New Orleans.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, yeah. Clever segue by Mike Bond. We're drinking an Abita beer, and we're not pretending it's a Memphis beer. We know where it comes from.
It comes from Abita Springs, Louisiana, which is just right north of New Orleans, Louisiana.
There you go. And it's not, this is Abita. Memphis, this is Abita Beat.
Memphis has a personality. It's one of the great American cities and has a real pulse and a real heartbeat. It's a really amazing, dynamic, complicated place.
Welcome to Memphis.
Okay, now, Memphis and complicated are typically never used in the same sentence. We have a culture. We have a lot of diversity. We got a lot of crazy shit, just like everybody else. But complicated, I think, gives us too much credit. You know, we're not like a cosmopolitan thing with creepy undertones and shadow communities. No, it's pretty much all out there.
Well, I don't know. I think Harrington made a complicated weave, a tangled web or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, but nobody knows who that is. They don't know about our crazy-ass mayor former mayor running for Congress on the simple platform that—
He's a black man.
He's black. Mm-hmm. And by God, that's good enough.
Yeah, we need a black man in Congress.
That's right, because the guy who's loved and endorsed by all the black people happens to be white.
Yeah.
Jewish. But white, nonetheless. So Harrington says, we need some color on there. Okay. God.
Enough of that.
Okay, so there's the complexity of Memphis.
One thing about you talking about the complexity of Memphis, you know, they call New Orleans the Big Easy. Well,
yeah.
We're just the Easy.
Yeah, we're easy. We'll roll over for anybody.
I guess I'd say that the tone of the show was sort of designed around Memphis.
Things work different around here than they do on the east side.
Okay, here's a hint. We're on the east side. So he's saying things work different than they do on the east side. It's like, what east side? We don't refer to any parts of town as northeast, south, west, whatever. Well west we do. West Memphis, which is in Arkansas.
Right, right.
Other than
that. We want to be really authentic to Memphis and to the South. Our wardrobe people took this pilgrimage to Memphis, and they took all these pictures and they interviewed people. Here's how the women dress. Here's how they do their hair.
They also traveled back in time, because these are clothes and things from the 50s and 60s. I don't know who the hell they were looking at, because we got some incredibly scary-looking people here. But we also got a lot of really good ones,
sure,
too. I mean, we make some good-looking people. And they're not crazy, and they don't dress like, you know, some kind of bad 60s film coming out. And they don't have beehive hairdos, and there is no Aunt Bee anymore. You know, it's just kind of—
Andy and Opie and Barney.
It's irritating me. Can you tell?
Specific food that people are eating.
Our policemen don't eat donuts all the time. They eat biscuits. Very famous Memphian biscuits.
Okay, Alfred. Just nail that. We're some biscuit-eating sons of bitches. That's all we do. Well, all day long, while we're, you know, maybe looking for our shoes, we sit on our asses eating biscuits.
And mustard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, biscuits and mustard. That's for dinner. And, you know, sorghum molasses and maybe some apple butter if we're feeling frisky. But, yeah, this shit. What is it? It's like, I can't remember the last time I had a biscuit. Yes, I can. It was on a road trip, and it was in Missouri. So,
was that the home of the Throwed Rolls?
You got it. You got
That's technically a roll.
Lambert's Throwed Rolls. Oh, you're right. Okay. Yeah. But see, I'm even confused about the difference between a roll and a biscuit.
Yeah.
But I have never in my entire life seen a policeman eating a biscuit. I'm sure they have, but they show on these previews, they're stuffing them down like, you know, these are the last biscuits on earth. Eat them quick before somebody comes and takes them from you. It's ridiculous. There's nobody going by and about it. Here's a bag of biscuits. Would you like some?
The heartbeat of Memphis is the music. There's just music in Memphis, in the air, in people's heads.
Yes, Alfrey, they're in our heads, along with voices. They're in our heads, too.
Get to hear a lot of great blues music, and you just have the respect, and the performance is based on the love of the music, and it's got a great energy to it. It definitely sets it apart.
Memphis Beat. Series premiere Tuesday, June 22nd at 10 on TNT.
Okay, and that was one I could agree with. He did a good job. The only thing that irritates me about that is he plays an Elvis impersonator. They're not all over the damn place. Mm-hmm. They come into town, you know, once a year, twice a year sometimes. But believe it or not, we're not eat up with Elvis.
No.
It's a tourist thing now. Mm-hmm. But and he did mention blues music, and I looked at the music list. They do feature some Memphis music, but it's like Booker T for background music and stuff like that. So what they really ought to do if they want to do it right is actually feature some Memphis musicians and all the diversity of things that we've talked about for the last 5 years.
Yeah. They should have called us.
We should have been consultants to the show.
And we would have done it for a small fee. Very small fee.
Very small. Hell, we'd work for beer money.
That's right.
Or beer. Whatever you got. Okay, so obviously the series has taken off. I only watched the first one because I couldn't stand it.
And that's all I've seen, too, is the very first one. And I didn't watch. I caught myself getting up from the chair and walking to the back room, sitting down on the computer for 2-3 minutes, then coming back and picking it back up because I just couldn't stay interested in it. I didn't like it.
But you said you've talked to some people who...
Yeah, they said the second episode, and I think they've got another one out. Is that right? Three?
I don't know.
I think so.
I'm telling you, I had it on DVR. I watched that first one, and I said, to hell with this. And I went and I took it off my DVR. I wouldn't even waste my DVR on it. It pissed me off that bad, and
well,
I lost
he respect. Said it's better. He said it's better. It's tolerable now.
Okay, well, based on that, I'm going to give it a shot because there was another TNT show. I thought, oh, my God, this is the worst damn thing ever. And it's still kind of goofy, but it kind of draws you in as that show Leverage.
Yeah, I watched that a long time ago, like maybe the previous season.
I think it's in its second season now, or third.
Might be
not
third.
Sure. But it has Timothy Hutton, right, who's a very credible actor.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of the people I've never seen before in my life.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got to think with this Memphis Beat, they got a bunch of good characters. Maybe they ought to go more funny. I mean, you got Jason Lee, who does comedy. You got DJ Qualls, who does comedy. You got Jerry, who's just a funny guy, even when he's on ER.
Yeah.
Why not?
Well, I think what you got right now is it's such a hot ticket. You know, all your CSI shows and detective shows, and I mean, there's so many of them out there. That's where the money's being made.
Yeah.
And I don't know if a comedy would work. I mean, I don't know. It might.
I know what you mean. The drama and TNT pumps out the drama.
They're big on drama.
Yeah, I don't know, but it's still just
maybe
the
they
idea.
Could sell it to Comedy Central and they could mix it with South Park.
But here's
Memphis meets South Park.
Here's another thing, and this is the other thing that kind of irritates me on a more personal level. Why aren't they filming it here?
Oh yeah, it's probably our government.
No, our government, if you're talking about like the film and tape commission, they go out of their way to accommodate producers. That's why we've had Hustle and Flow, Black Snake Moan, The Firm, you know, a bunch of movies filmed here, and including ones where it's not Memphis. They use it as another city. So now I know it's not that. I don't know what the reasoning was or why they said, well, we'll film some in Atlanta, some in there, and I'm sure the rest, you know, all the interiors are probably done in L.A.
Probably just didn't have enough good-looking people. We eat too many biscuits around here.
Yeah, I know. We got a bunch of fat bastard biscuit-eating sons of bitches running around here. That's what it is, but I don't know. It's still so it's that, too. And then they're showing this weird map, and it's like, okay, that's our map, but then they're saying we're here in this location. It's like, where the hell is that place? And I saw a street sign, and it's like, I've never heard that street in my life. And where is that building? It's all New Orleans.
It's in New Orleans.
And then they said the thing, it wasn't on there, but what were we talking about? The ward. They were talking about the ward. And it's
did
like,
they really?
Yeah, it's like.
I miss that part.
It's like,
That's New Orleans.
That's New Orleans. Yeah. We don't have wards.
Uh-uh.
I don't know. It's just crazy. So anyway, okay, so I'm through bitching. That was the ever popular What's Bugging Mike.
That was What's Bugging Dick today.
That's right. Okay, so thanks for putting up with that. I feel better now that I've got that off my chest. And let's give a listen to Tab and Juan, Night Train.
I'm a night train. Got that fuel from my fire. Keep it burning, babe. Got that fuel from my fire. You know I smoked them tracks to Memphis. Ain't stopping till the morning. We'll be right back.
That was Tab Benoit. Rick was enjoying that, and that was a special request by him.
It's a good song.
It's
good,
a great song.
Good artist.
He's a little bit of Night Train.
I know. Yeah. Doing Night Train. So we're drinking a beer here. Looks like it's night. It's a very dark beer, and man, it's a good one. From out of just, I don't know where I got this from, but it's nobody I've ever heard of. It's a Canadian beer. Well, technically it's from Quebec, and they don't believe they're Canadian.
I wonder if they eat biscuits up there.
They eat beignets.
Okay.
Or
French.
Or something. Yeah, they're French. Yeah. I'm guessing beignets. Hell, that might be New Orleans. So I guess that means.
Could be.
Who knows? Maybe they're.
Oh,
maybe.
Hold on. They eat poutine. Do you know what that is? I think that's how you say it.
Well, that sounds like something we talked about here in Memphis, too.
But we don't talk about it on the show.
No, it's a family show.
This is the French fries covered with gravy.
Yum.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Pommes frites.
What kind of gravy?
Canadian.
Yeah, just beef gravy.
Yeah,
beef
Canadian gravy. I actually, when I was in Canada, I had that. And they also either serve it with gravy or with vinegar. Yum.
How about like your Romulade sauce or something like that?
In Quebec?
Yeah.
I don't know about
that's
that.
French.
Now that's Cajun. All right, so our beer is the Brasserie du Ciel Aphrodite, which is a stout brewed with real cocoa and vanilla beans, and weighs in at 6.5% alcohol, which is pretty light.
I want some more of this. Oh, I do.
You
I want...
help yourself. It's a tasty beverage. It's
well, I want
very...
a six-pack.
Yeah, okay. I had no idea. I don't know where I got this thing from, but
good. Very good.
I've never seen it in any stores. Rick, you probably never heard of Brasserie du Ciel, right?
I may have, actually.
I'll listen to it.
Are they the ones that make the little bitty bottle, the little short stubby bottles, too? Or?
No, I don't know. Now, as soon as I said it out loud, I was like, well, maybe that is something we've heard of. But this Aphrodite is a tasty full of the vanilla and cocoa, just like it says on there.
Yeah, it's got a real good dry finish to it, and you, that cocoa, you can taste it in the back of your mouth.
Yeah, so it's not cloying or sweet or anything like that.
And
like
that
said,
vanilla
dry.
Bean right on the front, it comes at you. Yeah. It's good.
Smells good, pretty. The head stays up, and I think that's because it's not a super high alcohol. There's no alcohol burn at all.
No, it's good.
It's a good drinking beer. And, of course, we went from a summer one to a stout. And, it's very tasty. This would be good with ice cream in it. Make you float. Milkshake. So,
all right. I got to read this to you guys. Poutine is a dish consisting of French fries topped with fresh cheese curd, covered with brown gravy, and sometimes additional ingredients.
Wow.
So calories there.
Health,
man.
That's Canadian health food.
I had a friend one time said he puts his French fries in mayonnaise, and I thought that was bad until I just heard that.
Oh, man.
Belgian. Yeah. The Belgians do that.
Yeah, that would be the optional ingredients.
Say that word one more time.
Poutine. P-O-U-T-I-N-E.
Okay.
Get you some.
All right.
Yeah.
It's hard to find cheese curds down south, though.
Yeah, usually we throw those away.
We got to import them from Wisconsin.
Right. Or Canada, I guess, right?
Well, when I was up in Wisconsin, the guy made me buy a bag of cheese curds and take it home with me.
I did, too, and they were very good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed them.
They have a lot of taste to them, though.
I hadn't seen them since. Well, I had like a cheddar cheese curds or something.
This is like a plain white one. It was pretty bland.
Now, Rick, are you still working on Governor, or have you gone to a different...
No, I'm still working on the cabinet.
Okay. Well, why don't we change tracks and listen to that interview you did?
Okay. Let me intro it. The first one is with Alan Wright. He's from Zephyr Adventures, and he's the guy who's organizing this. And like you said, he's had success doing three different wine bloggers conferences. And apparently they're prolific, and there are lots and lots of wine bloggers out there, probably inspired by, you know, all the people there rating the wines and these rating systems that they have going. So, you know, the beer people weren't that sophisticated, but we're getting there. And, you know, he says there's probably at least half as many beer bloggers but there are enough to make this successful. So the first one's going to be local to him. He lives in Boulder. And then he's going to branch out to different areas of the country. He's looking for... what are you guys laughing at?
We're laughing at the kitty. No, it's the kitty.
We're laughing at the kitty, and the dogs are barking in the background.
I know. It's kind of ruining my, my little intro here, but
this is why we need
to re-record.
No, this is that's great. This is why we need video.
Yeah.
So they can see what we're looking at. Rick's got the kitty face on. That's going to be up, loaded up with the this podcast. So go back and look at the post. There's a picture of the kitty. It's just actually Rick.
How about we listen to the interview?
Sounds good.
I like it.
All right. I'm here with Alan Wright from Zephyr Adventures.
Correct?
That's correct. Zephyr Adventures. And you are coordinating a beer bloggers convention in Boulder, Colorado. And why don't you tell me a little bit about it?
Yeah, it's going to be the first ever beer bloggers conference worldwide, and it's taking place November 5 through 7 in Boulder, and we hope to draw in 100 to 150 beer bloggers from around North America.
Beer bloggers, do you count podcasters, and what are the scopes? How do you define a beer blogger?
Yeah, beer blogger could be anybody who writes or videos about beer or the beer industry. And what we talk about are citizen beer bloggers, who are those people who are doing it for their own account. And then there are also industry beer bloggers who are blogging or vlogging, video blogging about beer for their business.
Okay, so we have a group of people, ratebeer.com and beeradvocate.com and BeerTap TV. We have a variety of people out there who are beer blogging, but maybe they don't consider themselves bloggers. Are they considered part of this conference?
Well, it's interesting whether someone considers themselves a beer blogger or not. From my perspective, anybody who's writing or videoing about beer or the beer industry on a on a regular basis, every day or every week, then those people certainly are more than welcome and invited to this conference.
So if they're doing ratebeer.com and they drink a beer, they rate a beer, do you consider that part of beer blogging, correct?
Exactly. Perfect. Yeah. And this conference is not just for those people who consider themselves to be experts, but also for those people who are just getting into it and want to learn about the whole topic of blogging for beer.
Okay, Alan, first ever, what inspired you to do this? You've had experience in the past?
My company, Zephyr Adventures, runs the Wine Bloggers Conference. We've run three of those already, over three years. We also run the Food Bloggers Conference, and this will be the first Beer Bloggers Conference. So we are experienced in running blogger conferences, and this is the first foray into the beer world.
All right, so I'm a wine drinker, and I want to tour the wine country of Napa Valley. Do you guys, are you involved in that industry?
Well, our main business is running active tours around the world, and that includes tours in a variety of activities. We do things like hiking the Inca Trail in Peru and bicycling in Italy or Spain, but we also do wine-oriented active tours, one of which is biking in Sonoma and Napa in California. So, yeah, we're pretty familiar with the Napa area as well, but that's just one of the things that we do.
Okay. And how do you want to expand that to the beer industry? We're going to have the first one here in Colorado. I think we have a robust beer industry, and we have a great craft industry as well as the Brewers Association as well as the Homebrewers Association. There are a lot of industry specialists in the Boulder area. So that'll be the first conference. And how do you kind of want this to grow? Just tell me.
Well, as you know, I live in Boulder, and so that's one of the reasons we're doing this in Colorado. But ultimately, this conference will rotate to different areas of North America. It could be in the United States or Canada. And what I would like to see is this conference growing in numbers, but more importantly, growing in credibility so that bloggers who are out there potentially blogging, writing about beer at home on their spare time, get more credibility when they're dealing with the industry or with the public as far as their blog. So right now, people are just doing it on their own. You don't know for sure if you actually are having an audience or how much that audience is responding to you. As we, as bloggers, group together and become more prominent as a group, every individual blogger gets more credibility on their own.
Okay, how are you looking to have kind of a nationally recognized credibility? Are you looking for a rating system, kind of like the BA or Rate Beer? The wine industry obviously has a very well-defined standard.
The great thing about blogging is that it's really democratic, and any blogger can choose to create a blog on his or her own without any type of criteria or any type of hurdle to jump into the industry. And so, therefore, we don't really want to impose anything like that at all. We love the fact that anybody can become a beer blogger with enthusiasm and a little passion, and that's what we want to keep. So definitely, no, we don't want to impose any criteria or rating system on bloggers.
Okay, one of the things I heard you throwing out today was maybe having a Beer City event, you know, where it's kind of voted upon with the beer bloggers, what they think their favorite beer city is. Other ideas?
Yeah, the Beer City idea would be really cool. Right now, there's no great competition for determining which city or which state is kind of the preeminent beer city or state. And we'd love to do a blind tasting contest that addressed that. We're also talking about doing because this first Beer Bloggers Conference is in Colorado, we're talking about doing a blind virtual tasting of Colorado beers, which would be everybody around the country at one time cracking open a Colorado beer and writing about it on their blog, on Facebook, or on Twitter, and essentially joining into the same rating party.
I've attended similar things where, like Tiki Bar, we get together and a lot of people have their cams on and they're drinking and they're just kind of BSing and having fun. I think that'd be a good idea to kind of sample a similar beer and review it in a virtual pub environment. I don't know if you've thought about that yet.
Yeah, I love the idea. One of the things to consider is, does everybody do this on their own at home, which is extremely democratic, so that anybody who's interested in beer can sit down at home, crack open a beer, and write about it on Facebook at the same time. I love that idea. On the other hand, if you've got set places where people meet and together open up Colorado beers and then write about it, that's also fun as well.
But the idea would be to have a similar beer that's well distributed and have a virtual review of it online, simultaneous, nationwide.
Maybe. The other idea is to review any kind of Colorado beer you wish. And then it doesn't have to be a specific beer. It can be just any Colorado beer that you can find in your local store, whether that's in Nebraska or Maine or Florida. And then this year we do Colorado. Maybe in 6 months from now we do the same thing with Oregon beers or Maine beers.
I'd have to say, as a Colorado resident, that the Colorado beers would kick ass, but that's just a personal opinion, I'm sure.
Well, that's why we need that best city tasting test off.
All right, Ellen, one more time, the promo for the event.
Beer Bloggers Conference, beerbloggersconference.org, November 5 through 7. If you're writing about beer, whether it's online or in print, for your own reasons or for a business, come join us in November in Colorado.
So Alan sounds like he's got it all together, and we're going to have a great first annual Beer Bloggers Conference. And then you got to go cruise around with your new best friend, Chad.
Yeah, Chad Milas. He's with Oscar Blues. He does their marketing, I think, right now. They're kind of reaching out to, you know, this. What are we calling ourselves these days? New media?
Yeah.
Okay, so to the new media podcasters and bloggers and whatnot. And, you know, it's a good way for them to get some exposure, I think, into an area where, you know, it's word of mouth and people are promoting products based on their own enjoyment of it. You know, it's not like the
Yelp website where everyone goes and complains about a restaurant, you know, and they never say anything nice. Yeah. I think that us beer bloggers, and if we go out and purchase a bottle of beer or, you know, a special tapping or something and take the time to write it up, that we're going to give them an honest shake, you know.
Well, that's
so
true.
They see value in that, and I think that's why they were kind of reaching out to us. And, you know, it couldn't have been more generous. Like I said, we had a really nice sampler, including their Oscar Blues malt liquor.
Nice.
Really?
Interesting. Yeah, it's not your daddy's malt liquor, but it's still malt liquor.
And not your baby daddy's malt liquor either, right?
Yeah, there you go. It's something. You know, and then, of course, we got that nice tour of the brewery and the box of swag. So I was pleased as punch. It was a really good day for me.
Well, let's listen to it.
That's right.
All right, I'm with Chad. Chad, I have to thank you very much for your hospitality today. It's wonderful. We went to Homemade Liquids and Solids, and we had mud bugs, and we had ghost jalapenos. What's
ghost pepper.
Ghost pepper
wings.
Smoked wings. Yeah, we had a variety of smoked wings. We had a great sampling of beers and ribs. And then we came here to the Usk Blues Longmont facility where you can brew and can. And tell us, what do you think about the Bloggers Convention in November?
You know, I think it's a great opportunity for us to kind of showcase all that we have going on in Colorado. I really feel like Colorado is a destination for beer fans for a lot of different reasons. Obviously, it's a beautiful state. The landscape is beautiful, but I think the diversity of the beer that we have here is something to showcase as well. And I think it's really, you know, been put on the map, and I think it's a celebrated thing, and it's something that we're all excited about and are really willing to get behind and kind of put our stamp on it. I think it's a cool opportunity for people to come from all around the country, enjoy the Rocky Mountains, and the cool environment that's going on with craft beer out here right now.
Two things you mentioned about Colorado is the lifestyle. So canned beers, obviously, and Oscar Blues fits right into that. And Oscar Blues also does a beer, blues, and barbecue theme, which is very popular with Big Mummy Head. But also, this is kind of a beer central area. So let's talk about the lifestyle, I guess.
Well, I think, you know, kind of going back to us just kind of doing what we do and, you know, obviously making a really high quality beer that we can all, you know, cheers to and enjoy is what, you know, was the concept of it. And I think there are a lot of like-minded individuals in Colorado that are here for the adventure of what life has to offer. And I think that kind of led us to the can. And, you know, I think we're all out just doing what we do, which, you know, for us is enjoying the outdoors, enjoying a good quality beer, and, you know, having a good time trying to tie in some music with it and just really having fun with it. And I think we just like to try to put smiles on beer drinkers' face. And I think the can has allowed us to do that in a lot more places than a bottle would. And I think it's a positive thing that everybody is starting to recognize now, and we're going to have a lot of fun with it. And I think that's really the key to it, is just socially sharing a beer and having a good time.
Okay, I think you're being a little shy, because the can kind of stops the skunking, and there's a whole slew of reasons why we want to can beer. The cans are more recyclable. There's a lot less energy expenditure to recycle those. They're more easily recyclable. You can crush them when you're out on the trail. They cool down faster. You throw them in the stream. So there's a lot of reasons for canned beer. But the Brewers Association, and particularly Colorado in general, has a law, I guess. It's you can have one license per liquor store, so that's kind of encouraged a lot of diversity. There's a liquor store per big box grocery store, and the craft brewers can market directly to those liquor stores, so it kind of enhances the ability to distribute your beer, and you're very involved in that activity. There's a legislation to crush that and basically Well, you tell me about it.
Well, I think, you know, we're all here enjoying the diversity and the quality of craft beer in Colorado. I mean, I think that's really what it comes down to. And when you start to look around, I mean, you look at the people that are sharing beers, the people that are brewing beers. It's really a close-knit community, and I think it's really cultivated by the fact that we have direct access to the market. We have direct access to, you know, our buddy Bob that lives on the street that buys, you know, his beer at a liquor store nearby. And I think that's really what has grown the culture here, that we have direct access to market, and it's cultivated a diversity of beer that's really important for craft beer in general. I think that's kind of putting us on the map right now, and it's definitely something that we can enjoy and we can celebrate. But when you look around, you look at why that's happening, and I think the direct access to market and the consumer being able to make the choices that they want to at the cooler door and have a huge variety is something that's very important. And people might not realize, you know, when we're kind of talking directly about the grocery store bill here, obviously the Colorado Brewers Guild is looking at that and seeing what the impact is going to be. And I think right now it's really what's brought our culture out to this point is allowing access to freedoms of choice and providing a platform for people to make diverse beers and push the limits and make it accessible to the end consumer. So I think it's important not only for Colorado but for craft beer in general.
So I think we can safely say, just by representation, the number of breweries in Colorado, the diversity of beer in Colorado, the distribution of beer in Colorado, the fact that it's not mass marketed in the grocery stores has encouraged the selection, the choice, whatever. So when you have Budweiser coming in saying, I want this in this area, this display, and I want this many feet, this width, this height, and they control all that because they have the majority distribution. You know, it really is anti-choice, and so we're just looking to keep that amount of choice in Colorado.
You know, I think obviously chain stores and those things are a great option to reach a huge number of people. I mean, they feed a lot of people, you know, from coast to coast, and I think there's great opportunity there as well. But I certainly enjoy the freedoms that Colorado gives you to allow the consumer to make the choice instead of the retailer. I think that's an important part of what has made Colorado great. So it's not about or about this chain store or that chain store. It's really about the consumer getting the beer that they want. I mean, you know, we make beers that we like, and we're not necessarily aimed at a consumer or a grocery store. But I think when people go to the liquor store and they see our beer in the cooler, hopefully it's a beer that they want too. And I think they're expressing, you know, their want and their need for it when they go to the cooler door. And I just want them to be able to do that. So it's not really about this chain or that chain or any of those things. It's just about the freedom to, you know, have a choice when you go to the cooler door. I think that's the cool part about Colorado.
Absolutely. I didn't mean to single out. Anyway, Chad, thank you for a great evening, and you are partially hosting the Bloggers Convention, and we're going to have a dinner or some kind of event here at Oscar Blues, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like I was saying, we're kind of just sitting around enjoying a great beer and talking about all the cool things that are happening in the craft beer industry in Colorado right now. So I think it's a great opportunity to invite our friends and our brethren in breweries and have everybody come out and, you know, give a big toast to the Rocky Mountains and enjoy the experience. So, yeah.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
So, hell, I'm jealous. I wish I was there enjoying.
Me too. Sound like a big time.
But, and you also met and hooked up with some local fellow podcasters. But these guys are doing television, beer tap TV, right?
Yeah, video bloggers.
I said television. Different. It's internet.
Yeah.
Video blogger, so it's technically a video podcast.
But they call it Beer Tap TV.
Beer Tap TV, right. See, it even confused me.
Yeah.
So let's listen to them.
All right, I'm here with it's Eric, right?
What the hell is that?
Eric from Beer Tap TV.
Yeah, absolutely. Eric Bowles from Beer Tap TV. And Rick, thank you so much. I mean, you know, obviously, you know, the Big Foamy Head is obviously a much wider, much wider broadcast episode than we have at Beer Tap TV. And
we're really not. We've been out for 5 years, and you guys and your monthly distribution of 500,000 viewers, I think, you last promoted was well exceeded anything we've ever dreamed of. So tell me about Beer Tap TV, please.
So Beer Tap TV, quite simply, is a we'd like to call it an internet television network, but essentially it's a video podcast. It's on the internet every single week. Taste Buds, Beer Buzz. Beer Buzz is news. Taste Buds is beer tastings. But we really actually focus on embracing the beer lifestyle, much as, you know, the Big Foamy Head does with barbecue, blues, whatever. It's not about the beer. It's about the lifestyle, right?
Big Foamy Head's beer, blues, and barbecue. But how would I connect with you guys? Are you guys, like, on YouTube or what?
Well, we're on YouTube, we're on Vidler, we're on Vimeo, we're on, gosh, we're a bunch of places, but we're primarily on beertaptv.com or beertap.tv.
Okay, so that's a streaming feed?
It's not live streaming, but we do some live streams, and we also do two shows. We used to do four shows per week. We now do two shows per week, one of Taste Buds, one of Beer Buzz, and they're all video.
Okay, we've been hanging out for about 4 hours now, and we're all involved in this Colorado bloggers thing. And I think the first time I saw you guys was last year with Rick Likes. Rare beer tasting at Denver rare beer tasting. It was a Friday afternoon event. It was freaking awesome. If you missed that, you missed it. And you guys had your cameras up.
Yeah, we absolutely did. So we actually came out to cover the rare beer tasting event, not necessarily because of the uniqueness of the rare beer tasting event, but more importantly, two things. One was primarily because they're all about Pints for Prostates, which is all about prostate awareness, which is, you know, something uncomfortable with guys. Girls often talk about, you know, uncomfortableness, and guys are like, you know, we don't talk about any of that kind of stuff. So bringing that to the front page is really important. But more importantly, I think what really happens here is we look at, this is what the GABF, the Great American Beer Festival, is really all about. We're there for the lifestyle, the camaraderie, whatever. It's not about being on the show floor. It's the things that happen around the GABF now, and that's what's really, really important, is the camaraderie and the lifestyle and the connection.
Right, the craft beer industry and the craft beer industry followers. I would like to remind people that you don't have to get the finger up the butt to get your prostate examined. You can now get a PSA or PST test, and it's a blood test. So it's a lot more comfortable now.
Yeah, it's exactly right, right? I mean, it's the PSA test, and, you know, if you go to pintsforprostates.com, there's more information about that. And, of course, I'm right up at the 40-year mark, and we're actually going to do this on Beer Tap View. We're actually going to do an exam on Beer Tap View with a doctor that includes the whole, as you so put it, finger up the butt, and the PSA test both. But there's a lot of indicators that obviously bring that front and center. But more importantly is, obviously, here at this event, the Beer Bloggers Conference, and bringing all these bloggers together, and we're actually bringing some notoriety to what is the beer industry, or craft beer or otherwise. It's the beer industry. It's the social lubricant, if you will, that all of us are madly in love with.
So I understand you're doing one of the conference threads. I don't know if that's the correct term for it, but you're talking about monetizing blogging.
Yeah, absolutely. So I get a lot of emails every single week about how do you guys monetize Beer Tap TV, and you know, is it more about paying for the hosting, or is it about, you know, making $1 million, as so eloquently Gary Vaynerchuk would have put it, a bunch of those types of things. And that's really what we're going to talk about, is how do you make money at doing this? And it's really honestly quite possible. It just depends on how much work you're willing to put in, and really what your goal is of getting out of it as a beer blogger.
Excellent. Okay. Well, I need to check you guys out. I haven't. And you do like a weekly or bi-weekly, or how often do I need to check your website?
So it's every single week, and there's a huge community built around it as well, but it's every single week, and it is...
Subscribe to?
You don't have to even subscribe to. You can, obviously, and we're on YouTube and a bunch of other places. You can just idly pass by and watch it, and I appreciate the plug, obviously. I mean, you know, but yeah, I mean, there's one episode of Beer Buzz, which is all beer news. There's another episode, which is Taste Buds, which is all, you know, tasting reviews and things like that. I mean, obviously, the reverse play here would be is that I would... encourage everybody, of course, who's already listening to them, we'll repost it, to check out, you know, BigFoamyHead.com and actually watch your review, because you're, again, like the beer lifestyle. You are the barbecue, the blues, the, you know, the beer. I mean, it's the lifestyle. Again, I can't stress that enough. It's the lifestyle. It's not the actual, I'm a beer snob that drinks, you know, this beer that nobody else can get. It's the lifestyle, and all of us giving each other a hug and loving each other and doing the right thing, but we're doing it around quality beer. And even if that quality beer is Coors Light, Bud Light, or PBR, or whatever, this is about the lifestyle.
Amen to that. So we'll see you at the Great American Beer Festival, and we'll see you at the Beer Bloggers Forum.
Absolutely. Rick, thank you so much. I can't tell you how awesome this has been with you.
All right. Thank you also.
So those were a couple of great guys. They're from Colorado Springs. They had professional-looking shirts on. They shared with me kind of the expense that they go through to investments in their video cameras and their equipment. And they've got quite a bit invested into this. And it is their passion. If they won the lottery, you know, they'd take care of Mama and whoever, and they'd sink the rest of the money into this BeerTap TV. So that's what they want to do when they grow up.
And that's why I think this showing of, you know, this first annual Beer Bloggers Conference is going to probably be pretty good, because everybody is kind of like-minded. It's what we do because we enjoy doing it.
Well, it reminds me of the – you remember when we went to the Beer Podcamp? I mean, not Beer Podcamp, but Podcaster Podcamp.
Yeah.
And it was the first one they had.
Yeah.
They've already had a second one, and they're looking to do a third one. Yeah. So, I mean – this is the way the media is going and the direction it's going. And
it sounds like the breweries are recognizing it. And
they've got to.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Anheuser-Busch is recognizing the craft beer industry, and they're trying to make craft beer.
Yeah. Right. Are you saying crap beer?
Yeah, crap
beer. Okay, I thought you are. There's a little subliminal there.
Which reminds me, in Zymergy this month, there was a couple of letters to the editor about what's up with the Budweiser ad in the magazine. They're upset.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
As they should be.
Well, the editor says, look, you know, we'll take their money. And
their money's still green.
Yeah, it's still green, and we need it. We need it. So.
Yeah, that's you got to, what is it, sleeping with the enemy? Well, so I'm looking forward to this Beer Bloggers thing and really taking off. And, you know, we tried video. I don't know if anybody listening ever saw it. You can go to Big Foamy Head. Now, Rick's got a very popular one out there called How to Build a Kegerator?
Intro to Kegging.
Intro to Kegging. And somebody wrote and said something about a follow-up video or some such like that. So it's like, you know, this thing's been out there for a while. It's got, 25,000 views or some ridiculous number? So
it's a lot.
It's, yeah. So there's a lot of interest in it. So anyway, our beers were nice. We had our Abita Harvest Wit. We had our Aphrodite from Brasserie du Ciel. And Rick had a Gubna. And a good beer was enjoyed by all.
Good right? stuff.
We're not comparing or contrasting these. We just had a bunch of odds and ends to bring in. We're going to get back on regular format next show, right?
That's right. And if you get an opportunity, go to beerbloggersconference.org.
There you go. All right, let's wind it up and see you next time.
Drive safe.
Come back and see us.
Whiskey makes you frisky. Gin makes you sin. Wine makes you nutty. But I'll try them all over again. Cognac keeps you peppy. Rum makes you dumb. Beer is a mellow drink, but it'll keep you on the run. Whenever you want a drink or two, choose the drink that pleases you. Drink your mash, talk your trash, that is the right thing to do. Latch, champagne makes you happy, vodka keeps you thin, tequila makes you want to fight, but I'll try them all over again.
too. Choose a drink that pleases you. Drink your mash and talk your trash. That is the right thing to do. Let champagne makes you happy. Vodka keeps you thin. Tequila makes you want to fight. But I'll try.